Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word. I'm joined with my fabulous co-host, Miss 100%. And tonight, we have, for your listening pleasure, Miss Yvonne Eve Marino, boxer deluxe. She's going to knock you out if you're tripping. Anyway, if you want to holler at us, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Once again, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Got any questions, comments, concerns, feel free. Email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, tag my yearbook, Bebo. I'm Dick Hugger on everything but Twitter. So if you add me, I'll add you back and we can go into the whole social discourse thing. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am Smooth Drama. Of course, you follow me, I will follow you back because I'm a follower, leader, follower. I don't know which one comes first. It's like chicken and the egg. But if you follow me, I will follow you back. And if you want to catch up to my homegirl, Miss 100%, feel free to go to our Smooth Drama page, About Us. There you'll find out all the great information about Miss 100%. And you'll see her in her own natural state.
And I'm also on tag. That's Miss 100%, MS 100% sign. So you can look me up on tag too.
I guess they will. Speaking of looking people up, the story that I thought was over, but it just never seems to end. There's a guy who's claiming that he knows who murdered the notorious B.I.G. and he was an accessory after the fact. This guy just so happens to also be putting out a book, an e-book. Of course, I'm not going to name it. And because I want to protect the innocent in Smooth Drama style, we're gonna make up names for him. The first guy shall be Douchebag Asshole. and Douchebag Asshole is the one who said he killed Biggie. And the person he told it to, we shall name him Little Ugly Penis. So,
wow.
So, anyway, Little Ugly Penis, who's a former member of the Nation of Islam and is currently incarcerated at a federal prison in Chicago, has come forward and said that he played an accessory to the murder of rapper Notorious B.I.G. after the fact and knows who shot and killed the rapper. Yeah, he says that the shooter was a douchebag asshole and that he was a former Blood Gang member and was paid to do so. Not that we care. And I'm sure, and I'll let you answer this one, this 100%. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that he's got a book coming out.
You know, I'm going to leave that one alone because I just sense a whole lot of bitch-assness, and you know, in that whole story. so I'm not even going forward with it.
All right.
Can we just nickname both of them bitch ass motherfuckers? Can we say that on the radio?
We can say bitch ass motherfucker on the radio.
Bitch ass motherfucker. That's what their name goes.
That's who they are. Hopefully your book sells zero. And that's all we're going to say, because I refuse to say the name of the book. I refuse to say the name of the person, because I'm not giving you no fame.
None whatsoever.
It's your bitch ass. Moving on. Now, in this next thing, talking about overreactions, we know all about the Casey Anderson and the trial for killing her 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee.
Okay.
Yeah, and we know that she was found guilty of lying, but not of murder.
Mm-hmm.
So, Oklahoma, the fine state of Oklahoma, in the aftermath of the verdict, they're proposing a new law titled Kaylee's Law, which would require family members to tell authorities if a person, not just a child, in their family has died or is missing. Because Representative Paul Wesselhoff said that lawmakers are getting a lot of emails and petitions that the public in Oklahoma, they're outraged. So,
But what is that going to solve? People who kill people or people who kill children is not going to report it.
Well, that would be the point. That supposedly they want it to be within 24 hours.
So if they don't, then what are they going to be once they're found, you know, that maybe they knew or whatever, maybe they knew something about the person being dead. Is that person going to be charged? I mean, I don't understand how they're going to make that law work for, you know.
Yeah, I don't understand that one either. I mean, I know it's a reaction, but all I can say is this. You don't need a law for that, because
normal people report their loved ones missing or dead.
Exactly.
Either way.
Yeah, so I guess my theory on this is, if they had nothing to do with it, they would have reported it.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but if my 2-year-old daughter is missing for, 24 minutes, I'm like, what the hell?
Right.
Not 24 hours, not 24 days. I mean,
she was missing for 31 days.
Exactly. So that, to me, it says guilty, but it's neither here nor there. Not that it was the most important of news. I know it was appalling. I just wondered, the people on the jury, how do you sleep at night?
Right. How do you find somebody that clearly guilty? How do you say innocent? How can you do that? But
we're not talking about a teenager, because, you know, teenagers can disappear because they can do something stupid.
Right.
We understand that, grown folks. But 2-year-olds, generally, if 2-year-olds are disappearing, it's not a good thing. That's just common sense rule of law there. There's common sense there that's missing, and the folks who couldn't see that a woman who doesn't report her own kid missing for a whole month.
Right. Well, you know what, and I know this is, you know, kind of, you know, already common sense or whatever, but even the grandparents, because I'm a grandparent, and I know if I haven't talked to or heard anything about my grandchildren in 2-3 days, I'm calling to find out what's up with my grandkids, how they doing, what they've been doing, you know, But for the grandparents to not even say anything after they haven't heard from their grandchild in 30, nothing, no news about their grandchild in 31 days, they had to have known something was going on too. So I don't believe that they were totally innocent in all this either.
Well, I think the word would be dysfunctional. And we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
I mean, because if it don't make sense, us trying to make sense of things that don't make sense would drive us crazy. You know,
that's true. That's true.
You can't explain crazy. Crazy is crazy does.
Yeah, you're and absolutely right.
Speaking of crazy, our drug of the month, Chantix.
Mm.
You know these drugs that supposedly fix the problem? But it seems like the symptoms are worse than what they're trying to fix. Like, Chantix is supposed to stop the craving for smoking.
Right.
So, Chantix now has a warning about cardiovascular risk, as well as the suicidal thoughts and aggressive behavior.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I'd rather smoke than have suicidal thoughts or,
mm-hmm.
you know, just the ability to, I could take something that'll stop me from smoking, but I'll have a heart attack.
Well, Dick, you know, a lot of these drugs that they have out that are supposedly good, that they're supposed to be used to help you stop smoking, the ingredients are antidepressants.
Right.
And as we all know, like with Paxil, there was a drug back in the day called Wellbutrin that's like just like Chantix. It actually caused normal people to go insane. And so I'm like, what are they putting? If antidepressants are supposed to stop you from having those thoughts, if you're having those thoughts, what the hell are they putting in these drugs to make you go the opposite direction?
Well, we got a blogger who says, "Hit Me With The Rock," says Chantix works though. I used it, but it can be scary bad. And I'm not saying that it doesn't work. We're not talking the dot working part. We're talking about the fact that the side effects.
Right. Are you willing to?
Because
are you willing to go through all of these other things just to stop smoking when you can go cold turkey or do something different, chew the gum or whatever? Like, why would you want to put yourself through depression if you're not depressed just to stop smoking?
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, I mean, that would be the reason why we bring it up, because, yeah, it may stop you from wanting to smoke, but if it makes you want to kill yourself or the people that you live with.
Right. Or what did it say? Aggressive behavior. That aggressive behavior could be anything.
Right. Exactly. That's why we bring it up. We don't condone the side effects being worse than what actually it's supposed to cure.
Right.
And that's why we bring it up. But thank you, Hit
exactly.
Me With The Rock. Yeah. Hit Me With The Rock says now he has more money for weed. You probably should have the first time. And on that note, we going to go on a break before we bring on our guest, Miss Eve. This is Kayla. Anyway.
Uncontrollable forces we living under. Hot as hell, winter's hell, frozen over summers. We can tell you what the temp be, but can't control the numbers. Cause I educated guesses out the same thing as a ponder. Pointing lab at the niggas driving Hondas. Be past them in the business, they can't ride beside us. Chasing out the cash, they're probably right behind us. Ain't thinking about the money, then you're probably shouldn't mind us. Know who you're flying with, smoke the finest. King Kush, bro, royally your highness. Don't wanna fuck with us, cause we be on that grind shit. Looking for trouble, well, I swear you about to find.
what you need and guarantee you it ain't what you want. You keep saying what it is you need, but all I hear is what you want. Well, let me tell you what it is. So your best option is just living it and letting it go. They say they take your life, but really they just sweating your soul. They never kill before, so most of them just say it for show. Halfway murderers, you fucking kill me. Cut me up, Frankenstein, but I'm still me. So I don't worry about this backstabbing hit these. Stab me in the back, but I bet you that I still breathe. I got that kill free, immortal flow. While all these 10-buck rappers give you quarter rolls, fuck the song up. Then they tell you to enjoy the show. When they don't deserve it, I still give the people what they want. Make that what they need, cause this is necessary. If hip-hop was dead, it's time for it to be unburied. I'm here to take the titles all these halfway rappers carry. If they fit the future, then I know this all to me is scary. You keep saying what it is you need, but all I hear is what I want. Well, let me tell you what it is I tell you. No one gets the shit they want. No one wants to lose a game. No one wants to feel ashamed. No one wants to die today, but they will anyway. But they will anyway.
The technical difficulties there at the end. That was Kayla. Anyway, without further ado, let us get our distinguished guest on so that we can talk a little boxing. I definitely want to ask her opinion about this weekend's interesting, well, not interesting, but uninteresting fight. So-called heavyweight fight of the year. Fight here.
Hello.
Hello, Miss Moreno. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, Miss Moreno. This is Miss 100%. Thanks for joining us on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I got to ask you. I mean, you know, looking at your pictures, whatnot, not saying this in the eerie sort of way, but why is somebody so beautiful want to get punched in the face?
It's more of a, how do you say, of an adrenaline rush type of thing, you know?
Now, I know the adrenaline rush, but as far as boxing goes, what made you want to box, like to lace up the gloves and I want to go for it? How did that happen?
Well, first of all, I was on a weight loss journey type of thing. I have lost 135 pounds to this day. Today I met my goal of 135 pounds.
Mm.
So what better way to lose weight than to kickbox? And, you know, I got into it as a fitness, and then I started seeing the benefits of it, and I said, you know, this might be for me. I saw the adrenaline you get when, you know, you're just sparring. And I took it from there. I love it.
Okay, so now as a Now, do you box, or are you like MMA style boxing, hand and ground? I mean, which one do you actually do?
Well, I'm in a full contact kickboxing kind of sport where we don't do any MMA. However, we do, you know, use our hands, our fists, our feet, and you know, there's rules where you have to kick above the waist and. But it's a full contact sport, just no MMA kind of sport. It's more of a my type.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So now, as a Muay Thai fighter, I've read and heard from you that you had your first match last month and you were successful with the decision. Go through it with us. What was on your mind when you were about to get into the ring for your first match? What's the feeling?
Oh, man. If I can just coming out, you know, having everybody, all eyes on me, you know, and just I was thinking, you know, I'm going to fall entering the ring. I am going to fall, you know, because I'm a pretty clumsy person. But, no, that did not happen. I did not fall, but. You know, I thought something was going to happen. I was just so, I don't know, it was overwhelming. It really was overwhelming.
Okay, so now.
You could try some others. You said you did that as weight loss, but did you try anything else before it? Or so was it like the last resort, or was it just that one thing and it clicked and you said, yes, this is it. I feel it. This is what's going to work for me. Were the results like almost instantaneous as opposed to like diets and stuff like that that take forever to see any results?
Yes, I tried when I first started my weight loss back in August, it was more of a cardio type of running, maybe running for an hour and then doing a little exercise at home. I used to do hip hop abs and P90X. And P90X has a little bit of kickboxing in it, not too much, but, you know, it gave me a little workout. I have to say I lost a lot of pounds just being at home working out. However, when I first signed up to the gym back in February, all the results were just remarkable. I lost maybe close to 30 pounds just the first month alone, just with just kickboxing.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So now, as a fighter, you plan on fighting some more? Was this just like a hobby? Do you plan on professionally fighting and trying to get into bigger and better matches?
Well, as for my first match, I'm glad the way it went. The decision was mine, and you know the adrenaline you get out of that is just amazing. But however, yes, I am looking into further matches, but more I want to focus on is more of the fitness side of the sport. Help others see that you know, kickboxing is the way to go for cardio, etc. But yeah, I'm down to do another match.
Okay, so now tell me this. What does your family think about this? Your kids, your family, how do they feel about you fighting?
Well, you know, at first they were not so happy because I would come home with black eyes and there, you know. And so now they see that, you know, all the attention and just how much fun I have doing it, and they support me all the way.
Okay, now you're married, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, as a married woman, now you know you're putting your husband in the doghouse society-wise, because people who don't know that you're a fighter and you and him are going out to eat and you got the black eyes and the bruises.
Right.
I'm sure he doesn't appreciate the stares he may get. Like,
You know, that's why we have sunglasses and we have extra cover up.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just looking out for you, man, because you may not notice it, but I'm sure he gets those looks like you are terrible.
No, of course. I always have to explain. How did you get that? You know, everybody's like, what happened to you now? You know, it's training, you know?
Hey, you know, nobody ever believes the first thing that you say anyway. Like, oh, yeah, she's in denial. She just doesn't want to tell what's really going on. So I'm pretty sure that's really uncomfortable to have to.
Exactly. Now, they fear me. You know, they think I'm going to beat somebody up. But
well, technically, you can. Now, as a fighter, now, are you a fan of it? You watch it on TV?
Well, before no, I've never watched kickboxing. I'm a huge boxing fan, though. Go Pacquiao, you know, I love Pacquiao.
All right.
But as for kickboxing, I wasn't into it till after. Then, you know, that's when I started getting into the matches, watching them. But as far as growing up, I grew up with boxing. Boxing is just my thing. But for the cardio-wise, I love the kickboxing. It gives you just more of a pump.
Okay. Well, as a boxing guy myself, I love boxing. I've grown up on it. Now, I want to ask you, how do you feel about this 5 or 6 champions per division, no one true champion? Just your opinion as a fighter. Don't you think that it should be just like one weight class, one champion?
Right. You know, about my opinion on that, it's just I wish it was more to where it was just one champion, you know, where, yeah, we have a champion for each weight class. You know, I'm in the heavyweight. There's the welterweight, lightweight, et cetera. However, I wish there was just the one that we can go up to that class to get that one.
Right.
It's more of a climbing the pyramid, like, so to say.
Well, so you're a heavyweight. Did you happen to watch one of the worst overhyped matches just this past weekend, Klitschko and David Haye?
No, I did not watch that one. I missed it.
Oh, no, you didn't. No, you
didn't. I missed it. I'm guilty.
No, trust me, that was an hour that you would never be able to get back of your life. They hyped it up. They talked like they wanted to fight, and they basically circled each other for an hour. It was about as awful as you can get. Now, speaking of that, now your style, I mean, are you a brawler? Are you a technician in the ring? What's your boxing style?
I'm more of an observer. I like to observe footwork. I think in the feet is where you see the fighter. Where you're going to see what the fighter is going to do is all in the feet. If the fighter moves slow, you know that fighter is not going to throw fast moves at you. If that fighter moves fast, then you gotta be prepared. So it's all in the feet.
Okay. So are you...
I had a question.
Okay, go ahead.
As far as discipline, I've heard that, you know, things like kickboxing and martial arts and things like that is good for, you know, discipline and physical fitness and things like that. But I've heard that it's also good for like relaxation, and if you're, you know, maybe a person that's depressed, that may be a good outlet for you. How did it help you as far as, like, balancing family and all that, you know, the stress of being a woman and you have a family, you have to go to work, you have to cook, you have to do this, that, the other. Was it easy to balance, or is it easy to balance all that, and is it a really good way to relieve stress?
I think it makes it even better having kickboxing to where you relieve that stress. I mean, you know, there's some times where you just want to punch the wall out, or, you know, the window or something, you know. Well, hey, you have kickboxing, you have your opponent right there in front of you, your sparring buddy. There you go. Go take out all your stress, everything you feel, just take it out, you know.
Yes.
So
and that's why I was saying it's hard to
if I got a bill collector on me, you know, I'll just picture his face on my sparring buddy and then let's go at it, you know?
Yeah.
So you don't ever get tempted to be like, you know what, stop talking because I can't kick your ass.
No, I think it's a really great stress reliever. You know, it takes your mind into a whole different level to where you're not even thinking about your everyday life. You're concentrating on you, on what your body can do for you.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I was getting at. Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
So now I ask you, as someone who's into the sport now, would you say you're a defensive fighter or an offensive fighter?
I would have to say I'm going to have to say an offensive. I am the offensive. I'm not so much defensive.
Okay, I can understand that. I mean, you did say Manny Pacquiao, so I thought that you'd be someone who, like, wants to go forward. Now, speaking of Manny Pacquiao, what's your opinion on him, the Mayweather fight, the steroid issue? How much do you think is true, false, whatnot? Your opinion as a fighter.
My opinion as a fighter, I mean, you know, Manny has some skills, you know, that it's just, he's super fast. I mean, the first time I seen him box, I was like, wow, you know, he memorized me. But as far as having steroids, and you never know nowadays, you know, and him fighting Mayweather, I think this Mayweather is just hiding in his corner and not wanting to come out, you know, because the tornado of Manny, you know, is going to get him, you know?
Okay.
Well, I mean, in that is the debate. Lord knows there's been many a boxing forum that's been ruined. As someone going to the boxing chat rooms like myself, once I see him go, I have to get out of there. Like, I can't go through this any longer. You know, of course, there's the people who say, oh, Manny's going to kill him. Then there's the other people who are like, oh, Mayweather, wipe the floor with him. I think that his style, Mayweather's style, is kryptonite to Manny's style. I think, and this is me personally, that Manny looks good against guys who aren't defensive fighters.
Right.
I think that he would have a tad bit more trouble hitting a Mayweather that's moving and can move, as opposed to a guy who's never known to get out of a way of a punch like the last four or five guys that he's been fighting. I mean,
yeah, and you're absolutely right. Mayweather is a great fighter. He's really great. However, it's just I think that you know, when the time comes, if it ever comes, you know, who knows, you know, that'll probably be Judgment Day right there.
I think both of them are culpable because we're talking about it's about the money. People think that they're like, okay, he won't take the test. But I think both of them are fighting over who's going to get the most money out of the deal. I that's my thing. I see it, you know, it's like, oh, well, I sell more than you. No, I sell more than you. I beat this guy better than you beat that guy. And that's what I think is the main problem. They don't know how to split that $100 million that they'll get.
Right. True. Money's a big issue also.
Well,
it is.
But I just look at it like if they went 50-50, you get $50 million, I get $50 million, who loses? I mean,
we
all know that if that fight is ever made, we'll say half the country will be at each other's. There, how many fight parties will they have?
I mean, pay-per-view is going to probably charge $200 to view it.
Well, they probably won't do that, but we know that they'll definitely go $3-4 million. Easy.
Right.
And that's just
right.
In the United States. And that's being conservative. I think that's the fight that if they never make that fight, I think both of them should be ashamed of themselves. And they're both the dumbest businessmen on the face of the earth.
Right.
They don't make that fight.
And so tell me, what do you think about Mayweather's background as far as his criminal charges are concerned?
I don't think anything of it. I think it was a issue of a guy who got into it with a partner, you know, his mother of his children. And Lord knows, we know people who've been in relationships before. Those things can spiral out of control very easily. And being that he's in the public eye, I mean, I don't know anybody who hasn't gotten into an argument before. The only difference is his arguments are public matters, where our arguments are behind closed doors. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, yes. You're right, and that is true. I mean, you know, you're always going to be on the public eye when you're a public figure like that.
Right.
So you can break a cup, and they'll be saying, oh, you know, he hit his wife with a cup, you know.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, I know one of the bloggers hit me with the rock saying his wife can't take a punch.
Wow.
You know, but that's not going to happen here, you know. Yeah. I'll be the first one to take the punch here.
Yeah. Well, see, we don't want that. We're not advocating violence.
Well, I have a question. Have you ever thought that since this was so successful for you, have you thought about training other women, maybe a program, you know, to help women who feel like they have exhausted all their possibilities as far as trying to, you know, get healthy, not just lose weight or just to look good, but to, you know, build self-esteem and to become more healthy?
I haven't really focused on the older women. My focus has been more towards the obese, since I myself was obese before, so I've actually went through what other women that were in my situation are going through now. So that is my focus, to at least inspire someone to take up kickboxing just for the fitness of it. You know, it's...
Well, I mean, you're already inspiring. I mean, and I'd read your story, which is why I wanted to have you on the show. When you're talking about being over 300 pounds and you regained your life back. I mean, normally that's on The Biggest Loser on TV or whatnot. You did it without the spotlight. So I want to shine some spotlight on you and commend you.
Absolutely. I was inspired as well just hearing in that short of time, you didn't do weight loss surgery. You didn't do the quick fixes. You actually got a program in place and you stuck to it, and it's proven to work, and that's very impressive because you don't hear about that too often.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, it was hard work. I'm gonna say it was not easy. It was a journey in itself, but it's a journey that I just had to focus my mind on it and say that, you know what, I can't do this. This is for me. I have conquered diabetes. I am a diabetic, a type 2 diabetic. I used to insulin 3 times a day. Now I'm not on insulin anymore, just on a regular diet, and my diabetes is controlled. So anybody can do it. If I did it, anybody can. And, you know, we can be the next Manny Pacquiao out there, you know?
All right. Yeah. Minus the steroid allegation.
Yeah, minus that.
Well, tell us, Eve, where if people wanted to get in contact with you, they wanted to watch your fight. I mean, me in particular, if you're going to fight again, I know you're in somewhere in the area. I'd like to see you fight sometime. Tell us where we can catch up to you.
Well, you can catch up to me on my Facebook. You can look me up, Yvonne Moreno. And when there's an upcoming fight, I'll be posting it there.
Okay.
And that's where usually I talk about all of my fitness goals, or, you know, when it comes to kickboxing, et cetera. That's my main personal social page.
All right. Well, I look forward to eventually seeing you fight and hearing from you again. So, you know, when you're next, if you do fight again, I like to hear from you so we can announce and we can get a contingent up to check you out and cheer you on.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to both of you.
Yes, it's really fun.
It's been a pleasure having you on, and don't be a stranger. If you got something happening,
And anytime you need, you know, some strong fists, you know, you got mine right here.
don't play. I might call you. I need your bodyguard. Oh, and QSS wants to say hi before you go.
Oh, hi, QSS. That's my movie family. I love them to death. Shout out to them.
All right.
All right.
All right. You take care and have a good night.
Okay. Thank you. You too. Bye, all.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Good night.
All right. That was Yvonne Eve Moreno.
A very lovely, lovely woman. She's lovely. I like her.
And, I mean, and she's out there doing, I mean, a great motivational story. Started off at 300 plus, and now she's, you know,
she's at her goal.
She had her goal. She's there, and now she's taking it to the next level, and she's actually doing things that she enjoys, which is,
and she gets to beat people up.
Yeah. Now I'd like to get a little more cut, but not to beat people up. War, not peace. Oh, I said that backwards. Anyway.
Yeah. You said it backwards because that was really what was going through your head.
That was my Freudian slip. On that note, it's going to go on a break because I've got the feeling. And this is A-Prime, the feeling.
You remember that feeling? This how hip-hop used to make you feel, especially back then. It was so real. It was like air. You remember how you felt the first time you heard the bridge go?
Oh.
The first time?
Yeah.
I don't have that feeling.
As the moonlight is glistening above Lake Michigan, I'm sitting with my pen and pad trying to reminisce again. But this time I'm reflecting on the music and the reason why I love it and I gravitated to my journey started in my big mama's basement, freestyling with my cousin with the Bone Thugs tape in. I zoned out, can't remember what I was saying, but it must have been great by the look on their faces. It gave me the feeling I could only describe as ascended to the sky on a natural high. At lunch table, Cypher spitting it with some of my guys, listening to Biggie instrumentals, learning to write. I was a hooper, but I pushed the basketball to the side. Forget Mike, really, I was trying to be like Tribe, yeah. And since then, I've been hugging the mic. Hip hop is the love of my life. We about to take it to the top, y'all.
You know we do it for the love of music. Yeah. Inside my heart, my soul, and I know.
so you can read a Bible, pick a pepper, and ho, hey, hey. Nowadays I got this to say. See every other rapper do the same old thing. Microphone check, one, two, blank, blank. Claiming you a hustler, then elevate the game.
Yo, I used to love him, he was way too fresh. Not cause he was so hood or the way he dressed. He had a fat gold chain and some Adidas. Stayed hungry for the fame and the real success. Yeah, see, he would always seem to hold me down when them R&B niggas was out of town. He said, I need love, so we put it down. I'm here to resurrect the feeling of
you. You know we do it for the love on you, babe. Something that I want to do, you know we do it for the love on you, babe.
Pop is still living. We carrying a torch and resurrecting the feeling. To the beats, to the rhymes, to the shows at the park. To the lunchroom table where the phone gets sparked. Come on, get in your stance, cause the pop is still living. We carrying a torch and resurrecting the feeling. To the beats, to the rhymes, to the shows at the park. To the lunchroom table where the phone gets sparked. It's like.
Together you
got
to move.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was A Prime, The Feeling. And you know what time it is now, right, Miss 100%? This is where we get the feeling. We get to talk about our dumbasses of the week. Oh, I love talking about dumbasses.
I do too. It's so much. Would you like me to go first?
It's up to you. Lady's choice.
I think you can go first this week.
All right. Well, my dumb ass comes out of the great state of Michigan. This dumb ass, Kevin Gary, who was convicted of stalking Harvette Williams 3 years ago.
Okay.
Gets out, and the first thing he does when he gets out of prison is sue the person that he stalked for defamation of character, in which the judge tossed it out. Not to be outdone there, he goes and he files the suit again. He had to transfer to Oakland County. And it was tossed out there. So he refiled it again, insisting that Ms. Williams tarnished his good name. Even though he pled guilty. Now, get that. This is a guy who, not guilty, he stalked the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's suing her because she defamed him because he stalked her.
Maybe she should have just let him stalk her and his life would have been better. She calls him. Dumb as hell.
Yeah, he taking that Temptations, I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go lyric a little too far.
Well.
I'm just saying.
Well, my story comes out of Argentina. A 25-year-old Argentine man pushed his 20-year-old wife out of an A4 window after an argument, but her fall was broken when her legs got entangled in power lines right below the window. A police spokesperson told the state-run Tamil News agency that when the husband saw the woman dangling beneath him, he apparently tried to throw himself on top of her to finish her off. He missed and fell to his death. Meanwhile, the woman was able to swing to a nearby balcony and was saved.
Hey, well, that's poetic justice, right? I'm like, good for him.
That's what his ass gets. That's what I thought.
And
that's exactly what.
Not terribly smart. I'm thinking that he won't be on the Rhodes Scholars list. No time soon.
You jump. You see somebody dangling from power lines after you push them off of an eight-story building. So you decide to jump out on top of them to finish them off. What kind of argument could have been that bad? That's just crazy.
Hey, well, I mean, we can say crazy, but I don't know if it's net. I mean, I guess it is crazy. we talked about that earlier, where you can't try to explain crazy because I just make you crazy too.
You just frustrate yourself.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get brain freeze trying to talk about crazy folk. I am going to talk, and you know I like to talk about rights issues. As a woman in my favorite state of Florida, I get to bring up Florida every week. It's something in the water down there, man. I don't know. But this woman who was a traffic magistrate for the court, Broward County Courthouse, she was taking pictures of men at a urinal. I mean, she took pictures in the bathroom, and when the deputy confronted her, she was like, "No, it's a public restroom," and she wasn't breaking any kind of laws. And I mean, was she breaking a law? Is it a law that says a woman can't go into the men's bathroom and take a picture?
I don't believe there is.
Yeah. Now, it's not something that I advise. It's not the smart move. I mean, and, you know, quite honestly, you can get taken out in the bath. I mean, you go into a public bathroom, you taking pictures of the wrong person, get knocked out.
Right, that's true.
You know, I mean, technically, there's no, I don't see the law against it.
There's no law against busting into a men's restroom and taking pictures of their meat, maybe. So, you've always been curious about some things.
Yeah, okay. Now, I bring this up because that double standard, we talked about that double standard where you have it where a female can go into the men's bathroom and it'd be a slap on the wrist. But if there was a man in the woman's bathroom taking pictures,
yes,
all hell breaks loose.
All hell, yes. You're right.
He
could have just been taking pictures, and you know the story would have been, he raped me, he beat me up, he did this, he did that, and he probably would have been some years behind it.
Yeah.
Taking a picture.
And she may do, I mean, because you could do years just going into the bathroom. I just wonder what's going on. I guess it's one of the things where she had to have it. I got to get some pictures of penis in my camera.
Well, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm
just saying, for someone, a grown woman, to just, I'm going to go into the bathroom. Who works at the court, mind you. it's a Florida thing. Maybe she drank some of that Florida sulfur water, and it messed her up. It clouded her judgment. I don't know.
Something went wrong that day, that morning.
Right.
You woke up that morning like, I think I want to see a whole bunch of dicks today.
Yeah, pretty much. She had penis on the brain.
What better way than to bust into the restroom while they got them out and take some pictures?
Yeah. Now, moving on from that to something real serious about the, you know, if you heard about the story of the HIV rape of a baby.
Yes.
Silverton, the police department, they're getting complaints from all around the nation because this guy who raped a young child is only being charged with rape. They're wondering why this guy is not being charged with attempted murder or even murder. And this is out of Silverton, Ohio. And this is a 6-month-old baby. And it goes back to something we talked about a while back, where people look at it like, oh, when it comes to sex crimes, oh, it's the sexual deviancy and it's about the sex. And when we talk about the rape, the people who had sex with guys with HIV or whatnot, and I said at the time that he can poke holes. If you make him wear condoms, he can poke holes in the condom to make sure
right.
he can get it anyway. Because
right. They
are serial killers. His
intent right.
is to maim and harm.
Yes.
There's no way around it. And if you look at this, it's a 6-month-old baby. So his intent is to hurt. There's no intent to, you're not telling me that you're looking at a 6-month-old baby as a sexual being. And if you are, there's something wrong there. It has nothing to do with the sex. It has everything to do with just the malintent, the bad intentions.
Well, why is it that when men have consensual sex with a woman and does, because it's against the law for an HIV positive person to have sex with someone and not tell them that they're HIV positive, and they can be charged with attempted murder, why wasn't this one charged as attempted murder? It was rape, yes, but it's still attempted murder because he's HIV positive.
Right. Right. That's why they had the complaints. And that's why I wanted to bring this up, because it's, As a longtime blogger Chocolate said, rape is not a serious enough charge. It is sick. It's attempted murder. No more, no less.
You're right.
Yeah. On that note, because that is sickening to the highest level, I want to thank my guest, Yvonne Eve Moreno, Boxer Supreme, motivational speaker, because she's like, if I can do it, you can do it. Get out there and make it happen. I want to thank you, Miss 100%, for being the great co-host that you are. And on that note, I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word from Miss 100%. This is Smooth Drama. We are out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is
is the lady with her hands
up. Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.